Tonight we're going to talk about highest honor to Jesus Christ. The highest honor to Jesus goes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. We honor the men and women who died during service in the U.S. Armed Forces defending our country and helping gain the freedoms that we enjoy in this great nation. And we say thank you to those people. If you are a family member of one who died while in military service, we say thank you to that family member of yours. We honor those people who died in the U.S. military defending this great nation. On this Memorial Day weekend, let us remember to hold in highest honor the greatest being who ever lived and died while in service in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ. Let's honor him this Memorial Day. He receives the highest honor. Amen?
Amen.
He lived for 33 years. He did good. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He went about doing good, but his enemies wanted him dead. Evil men wanted him to die. He was crucified upon a cruel cross, upon a humiliating cross. A crown of thorns was put on his head. And after he died, they pierced him on the side with a sword. He died for all of us. You know, Jesus died on a cruel cross, on a torturous cross, for the people of the world. Jesus died for America, and Jesus died for you and me individually. And by his death on that cross, he gained us spiritual freedoms with eternal impact. Let me say it again. By his death on that cross, over 2,000 years ago, he gained us spiritual freedoms with eternal impact. So tonight, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about the freedoms gained through Christ's death on the cross. The first freedom is freedom from sin's grip. What does Paul write in Galatians 6, verse 14? You can close that door back there. Galatians 6:14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Let me read it again. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You know, Paul would only boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the death that he suffered on that cross. He says, by which the world has been crucified to me. For us, it's this: by which the world has been crucified to us. What does the world represent, friends? What does the world represent? The world represents sinful pleasures and addictions that lead to enslavement in your life. So maybe there's a sin out there to you is pleasureful and you do it once. And you go for a day and you need it again and you do it a third time and a fourth time. Or maybe it's an addiction to a drug. Maybe you're depressed and you do that drug and it gives you a high, but the next day you're depressed again, so you have to do that drug again and you do it a third and a fourth and a fifth time. You've become a slave to sin. You know, if you've placed faith in Jesus, the sin and addictions of the world which would try to enslave you no longer have a hold on you. They have lost their appeal. They have been crucified, as Paul says in Galatians 6:14. They've become as dead and of no effect in your life by faith in Jesus and his work on the cross. Through Jesus' death on the cross and by faith in him, the grip of the world's sinful pleasures and addictions have been crucified to you. They've become as dead. Its grip over your life becomes broken. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He died upon the cross so that by faith in him, the stronghold of sin, its pleasures, its addictions can be broken over your life. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
Let me say it again. Through the cross, Jesus has gained you freedom from the power of sin and its pleasures and its bondage over your life. The second freedom, the most important freedom that Jesus gained us through His death on the cross is what? He gained us freedom from eternal death. And Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. He writes to Timothy, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." He writes in verse 10 of 2 Timothy 1, the appearing of Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death. What kind of death is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus having destroyed eternal death. You see, Jesus appearing for 33 years on this earth included his death on the cross, by which he abolished eternal death, eternal separation from God. Jesus, in his death on the cross, abolished eternal death. He abolished eternal separation from God eternally if you have faith and trust in Jesus. Is that good news here tonight? In his dying on that cross, Jesus destroyed eternal death. That's awesome, isn't it? So the second and most important freedom that Jesus gave us through his death on the cross was freedom from eternal separation from God. I can't imagine a second without God, let alone an eternity. By his death on the cross and faith in him, we have gained freedom from eternal death. Jesus on the cross destroyed, he abolished eternal death. He freed us from eternal death and gave us the promise of eternal life by faith in him. And maybe you've got faith in Jesus, so you've got eternal life. But maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Tonight, at the end of the service, you'll have the opportunity to put faith in Jesus. Maybe at one time you followed Jesus, but maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you've slipped away from Jesus. Tonight, you'll have the opportunity at the end to re-give your life back to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You know, hell is a terrible place. Eternal death, hell, is a terrible place. There is only sorrow and loneliness and separation from God forever. But Jesus freed us from eternal death by his crucifixion and has given us the promise of eternal life by faith in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't have Jesus tonight, you'll have the opportunity to put your faith in him. In heaven, there is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is no more sickness. There is no more lack. That's awesome, isn't it? And we're headed there one day when we leave this earth if you've got faith in Jesus Christ. Heaven is an awesome place. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more financial lack, no more discord. Heaven is a place of where there is peace and joy and communion with God forever and ever and ever. And by faith in Jesus, when you leave this earth, when you die physically, you're headed to heaven. Amen? That good news here tonight.
Yes.
And Jesus, in dying on the cross, died so that we could receive that awesome gift of eternal life. Now, John writes in 1 John 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life, Zoe. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He who has got the Son, he who has placed faith in Jesus Christ, has the Zoe life of God. If you've placed your faith and your trust in Jesus, the life of God entered you at that point. Let me put it a different way. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, at that point, eternal life began for you on this earth, in the here and in the now. Remember what I said just a minute ago, that in heaven what? There is provision. In heaven there is wholeness. In heaven there is harmony. In heaven there is peace and communion with God. There are so many good things in heaven that we can look forward to one day, right? Is that making sense here tonight? But guess what? If eternal life by faith in Jesus begins for you at the moment that you accepted Jesus, you can have a taste of heaven, of the goodness of heaven in the here and in the now. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
You could taste of the goodness of God. You could taste of physical healing in your body. You can taste of harmony with other people. You can taste of communion with God. You can taste of financial provision. Amen? Is that good news here tonight? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, at that moment, eternal life began for you on this earth in the here and now. You receive the Zoe life of God on the inside of you, and you can have a taste of heaven right now on this earth. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So, Jesus died upon a cruel cross. He rose again. He died to bring us freedom from the stronghold that sin would want over our lives. He died to bring us freedom from eternal death and give us the promise of eternal life when we leave this earth. So the question tonight is this, it remains. What is our way of saying thanks to Jesus for giving his life on that cross? What is our way, each of us individually, of saying thanks to Jesus for giving his life on that cross on Calvary's Hill over 2,000 years ago? By giving our lives to him in submission to his lordship over every part of our being. Your way of saying thanks to Jesus for giving his life on the cross over 2,000 years ago is by giving your life in submission to his lordship over every part of your being. What does Lord mean? Jesus is Savior. He saves us from sin. He saves us from hell. But what does Lord mean? What does Jesus mean as Lord in your life? Lord means ruler. He wants to be ruler, Lord, over every part of your existence. Not just one part or two parts. He wants to be Lord over every part of your being. And our greatest example in this of submission, full submission, was Jesus himself. John chapter 8. He writes this. John 8, verse 28 and verse 29. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone." He had communion, perfect communion with God. "For I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him." If you're a follower of Jesus, guess what? You need to follow Jesus in this area. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that I am in full submission to the Father's will in what I say and in what I do. In what I say and what I do. The one who sent me is always with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Jesus was in full and perfect submission and obedience to the Father's will concerning the words he spoke and the life that he lived. He always did what pleased the Father. What pleased the Father? He went about teaching the kingdom of God. That pleased the Father. He went about healing the sick. That was pleasing to the Father. He went about casting devils out of the possessed. That was pleasing to the Father. He went about raising the dead back to life. That was pleasing to the Father. And ultimately, he went to the cross, as I've been talking about tonight, which was pleasing to the Father. And you can find in the garden, in Matthew chapter 26, that Jesus prayed, and he prayed, God, if it's possible, that this cup of suffering pass from me, but not my will, Father, your will be done. And when Jesus went to that cruel cross over 2,000 years ago, it pleased Father God. Amen? Jesus lived in full submission and obedience to the Father's will in every part of his being. Are you a true follower of Jesus? Then with God's grace, God's help, by reading the Word, you've got to live your life on a daily basis in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, your submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is not going to happen automatically. Submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over every part of your life doesn't happen instantly. It takes a lifetime. If your aim is to please Jesus in every part of your being, then you are giving your life in submission to his Lordship. It's a lifelong process. Billy Graham once said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment, but being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. Being a Christian, submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every part of your life, happens over the process of a lifetime by praying to God, saying, God, in my own strength, I can't submit this part of my life, but God, I pray that you give me your strength. And God will empower you to submit your life to the Lordship of Jesus. Getting into the Word, renewing your mind by the reading of God's Word. The books that you read influence the way you think. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, and let it influence you to make Jesus Lord over every part of your existence? Is that good news here tonight? Let me ask you tonight. Everything that Jesus did, right? Everything that Jesus did, according to John 8:29, was pleasing to the Father. Are you pleasing Jesus in every part of your life? Are you pleasing Jesus with the words that flow from your mouth? When somebody irritates you, or you stub that toe, what comes out of your mouth? A four-letter word or blessings? What's pleasing to Jesus is words of blessings, right? Amen? Amen? Becoming sanctified in the words that we speak. Are you doing with your body what is pleasing to Jesus, submitted to his Lordship? You know, if you're getting drunk all the time and you're getting high all the time, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you're getting drunk all the time and getting high all the time, you know, you're actually hurting the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, to do what is pleasing to Jesus with your body means taking care of the temple. Being holy with this temple, with this body that God has blessed you with. Getting on a program if you need to break free of the drugs. Getting on a program if you need to break free of that alcoholic addiction. Amen?
Amen?
Are you pleasing Jesus with your mind, with your thoughts? You know, if somebody offends you and says something to really hurt you, what's your first initial thought? Is it to get revenge and get retaliation? Or is it to please Jesus and forgive your offender? Is that making sense here tonight? In every area of our lives. In your finances, what do you use your money for? Is it to buy things you shouldn't be buying? You know, is it purchasing, spending it for unclean purposes? Or are you using your finances planting it into the kingdom of God to help further the kingdom of God on this earth. Got to think about it tonight. You know, you just think about it. If you remember nothing else tonight, remember this. You know, just cry out to God. Say, God, I want my life to be in full surrender to you. God, I want my life to be fully pleasing in every area to your Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, your way of saying thanks to Jesus for giving his life on that cross over 2,000 years ago is by giving your life in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Doing with your life what is pleasing to Jesus. With your mind, your words, your body, your finances, your friendships, so many parts that make up our existence. I'm going to read you an illustration here tonight. Just one final thought, and it's this. This is from the speaker's quote book. A real Christian feels supreme love for the one whom he has never seen, talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see, expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another, empties himself in order to be full, admits he is wrong so he can be declared right, goes down in order to get up, is strongest when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, and happiest when he feels worst. He dies so he can live, forsakes in order to have, gives away so he can keep, sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passeth knowledge. That's from A.W. Tozer, The Root of the Righteous. How committed and submitted are you to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. Who's got the steering wheel of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? If you're in control of the steering wheel of your life, I encourage you, starting tonight, slide over into the passenger side and give Jesus the steering wheel of your life. Amen? You may have accepted Jesus as Savior a month ago, or a year ago, or 5 or 10 years ago. But Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. He wants to be Savior and Lord, ruler, controller, the one supreme in authority over every part of your existence. And in our own flesh, in your own flesh, it's tough to submit to the Lordship of Jesus, because the flesh wants to go one way. It wants to go the wrong way. And when it's hard for the flesh to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, just cry out to God. Say, God, I can't do this on my own. And God will give you the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which resides on the inside of you, to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. Just cry out to God. Say, God, I am too weak. I can't do this on my own. And God will enable you to do what is pleasing to Jesus. And then getting into God's Word on a consistent basis. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas. Getting into the Word of God on a daily basis. Maybe reading 3 or 4 scriptures or one chapter. But getting in God's Word, reading it, meditating on it, and letting it wash your mind and your spirit. Making you more like Jesus Christ. So that you could have the mind of Christ. Is that good news here tonight? Amen. And then finding good Christian friends. It's important that you're known, and you will become like the people that you hang around on a consistent basis with. Finding good, solid Christian friends. Amen. That will encourage you to submit to the rulership of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. So we hold in highest honor the greatest being who ever lived this Memorial Day. He died upon a cross to bring us freedom from the stronghold of sin. He died upon that cross to bring us freedom from eternal death. And we say thank you to him by submitting our lives to his Lordship over the process of a lifetime. Amen?